Deutschlandfunk Kultur Freispiel.
Listening Across Fault Lines, Episode 3. Sie hören die englische Originalfassung. Eine deutsche Version der Serie finden Sie auf hörspielundfeature.de und im Deutschlandfunk Kultur Hörspiel Podcast.
Ever think about how you listen to other people and the world? Across the Pacific, listening is essential to life. Holding communities and ecosystems together. Over many years, myself, Mera Nalatikau, and my friends Amea Kangiza and Eliki Reed have asked elders about how they listen and what they want the world to know. Join us as we listen across fault lines. Audiences are advised that the work features audio of people who are now deceased.
Sometimes they're all here. It's quite a pleasure to see them. Ducks and fowls and dogs and cats. Especially in the morning when I have my breakfast, they all come here. Stand out, congregate out on the path, expecting crumbs. So I just throw them somewhere.
Esteveri Kiteiro, Pacific elder, poet and educator, sits outside his home in Tarawa, Kiribati, feeding the animals that surround us. Waves splash against the seawall a few meters away. The morning is hot and the pandanus leaves barely move in the breeze. Teveriki repeats the saying that Simeone also told us, that we are told again and again.
For 2 years, 1 month, don't talk too much, you know? You gotta learn to listen more. Not only to hear, but to be able to develop another thing, and that is to be able to interpret. You know, these things are different. They occur at different levels. The hearing and the interpretation of the sounds. There's always something that even the plants are telling us. So we need to listen to those subtle messages. Because the messages are very subtle, we need to develop a third ear in order to be able to listen to that. Messages, silent message is listen more than you talk. So there's a lot to listen to the environment. You know, we can start with simple things like animals. You know, there are times when you link in your preoccupation with something else, you forget about the animals, and then the animals started making sounds. Now you've got to be able to be sensitive to those.
When I say listening to the environment, the natural environment, it has its own sound, it has its own rhythm, it has its own reverberations, if you may. Let me put it this way as an example. From my mother's clan connection on the island of Ngau in the Lomaiviti group, she comes from the clan of the fisher folk. And the fisher folk are traditional custodians of the ocean, of the reef, of the sea. And also, if a chief wishes to consume certain marine creatures, fish, the approach is traditionally made to the traditional fisher folk who then engage in the activity of fishing, whether it's a collaborative traditional fishing approach or just whatever approach that is deemed suitable.
Simeone tells of indigenous Fijian clans, many of whom include fisherfolk, and the importance of listening in their relations with the sea.
For the custodians of the fisherfolk clan, which we call Ngonendau, there are days they do not fish, but they live close to the beach. They live close to the beach because they monitor the health and the status of the ocean, of the beach. How do they monitor? I remember one of my paternal grandfathers from the same clan, he listens to the pound of the reef, the surf on the reef. And he knows just by listening if all is good or if there's impending bad weather approaching. They also listen to the sound of birds, seabirds, terns, because the sound of the birds indicate that there's still bounty in the ocean. They also listen to certain night sounds, cicadas, insects, etc., crickets. These sounds indicate that all is well. All is well on the coastline. And all is also well, also out at sea.
They can also hear when things are out of balance.
Because of the pursuit for economic or selfish economic gain, there are fishing, some who are you resorting to fishing techniques that that harm the environment. Certain poisons, certain toxins, certain whatever. And these short, unethical methods do get in the required catch, but then in the humming of the environment, the sounds that are supposed to be heard diminish. So this is the sound, the importance of listening to the environment. It is a way of monitoring. It's a way of monitoring the health and the well-being, or if I may use the indigenous word, sautu, the holistic well-being of the environment.
These environmental changes that Simeone tells me about when we meet near Lovala Bay in Suva underscore what Pacific people have known for millennia. Listening is the basis for deep knowing and connection to ecosystems and environments, with a significance much broader than what Western cultures teach us.
The indigenous understanding of listening goes beyond the auditory listening. To listen in our indigenous way, one not only listens with the ears, one listens with the mind, and also listens with the heart, and also listen with the spirit. These various levels have their significance and their purposes. So putting it in another way, if one is to only listen with the auditory or just the ears, a lot can be missed out in terms of the emotional dimension, the spiritual dimension, etc. Why is the emotional and spiritual important? Because embedded in emotional and spiritual listening is our kinship and also the environment. And when I say the environment, in our indigenous understanding, environment is not only what we see, it's also what we don't see.
Unaisi agrees with Simeone, sharing her own story about permission in traditional medicine practices and respect for all living things.
In Fijian belief, nothing is empty, eh? So I always give the example of my grandmother when it comes to this, because she's a medicine woman too. When we collect medicine in the morning, she'll stand in front of the bush, you know, the trees. And then she'd talk to the tree, you know, basically to ask the tree, you know, I'm remarking you because the children, the mothers of the children in the village, my grandchildren, they are not looked after, they're sick. Now I'm remarking you, so sorry. Then she goes into remarking. Otherwise, the trip to the tree through the forest is a quiet one. Because of the fact that we believe the places we're walking over, that somebody's sleeping there. You know, we don't know the older graveyards of our ancestors, the birds, the pigs. And for the fact that for every Fijian, there is a tree, there are animals and birds we are related to. And in being quiet, you kind of maintain that dignity and space. You should give other people, other elements, other spirits space to occupy your space. Yeah. But if you were rowdy and yelling, we would say you would lose your way because spirits, nature will not allow you to dominate. And there are lots of stories about people getting lost after some misdemeanor like that in the forest.
So much more than just the sensory and transactional experience we understand it to be. What Simeone and Unaisi of Fiji explain about paying attention to the worlds around us gives us some insight into other ways of approaching the social and environmental crises we are collectively in.
It's not only listening, it's being discerning, eh? Of the need that we are going to be here tomorrow, we'd better be attending to the things that are around us. Eh? And in listening, in the figurative listening, you are expected to be connecting, eh? Either spiritually or in observation or in feeling or in your heart, eh? The things that are going on around you.
Simeone tells us a story about a visit to a community experiencing the impacts of climate change and recovering from a recent disaster. He asks the community if they realize what they are doing.
Do you see, Burton? They could not. Then I said, this is the indigenous perspective. The totem tree is you. You are the totem tree. When it's anchored on Mother Earth, it anchors you. Because you fail to respect the tree, you fail to respect your extension as a tree, you planted in something else. The land has eyes. It takes time to react, to allow us to realize our folly. But since you were blind and deaf, the land decided, I've had enough. Okay, let me just withdraw my protection. Let me withdraw my mana for a while. And what happened was the landslide. When I mentioned this to the rep who was present, his eyes were, I could tell he was deeply thinking. And there was emotion in his eyes. They begin to realize, oh my gosh, in our folly, we've turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to our indigenous ways of conserving the land. We were uprooted all in the pursuit for money, and the expense is our culture, our land. And when accidents happen, and I say accidents within inverted commas, in the indigenous psyche, it is not interpreted initially as climate change issues or natural disasters. They are first and foremost understood as we've wronged the earth.
Nothing is empty, as Unaisi says. Listening contains multitudes, encompassing spiritual, societal, and ecological spheres. Listening reveals patterns, offering an opportunity to commune with our surroundings. A few years ago now, we spoke with Philip, a chief from Duke of York Island in Papua New Guinea. It was late into the night as the rain fell that he said something that will always stay with us. Listening is its very own language, a language carrying us across fault lines, bringing us closer to one another and to the worlds around us.
The land speaks when the earthquake shake, the land speak to us. We are not foreign to the thunder and the lightning, because the thunder and the lightning also, they listen to us.
When we listen across fault lines,
we pay attention to the environments we live in and are a part of. Pacific cultures have always seen people and ecosystems as interdependent, a relationship that European cultures have long separated, to the detriment of the Earth and all who inhabit it. With this series, we emphasize the importance of listening, really listening, to better understand how to care for each other. Wherever you are, we hope that you carry these words from Unaisi Nambombombamba, Teveiriki Teaero, Philip Takom, Lydia Jacob, and Simeone Sevundrendre with you.
Listening Across Fault Lines, Episode 3, by Amea Kangisa, Merenela Tikau, and Eleki Reed, with Unaisi Nambombombamba, Lydia Jacob, Simeone Sevundrendre, Teviare Kiteru, Philip Tukam, and Mere Nelatikau. Field recording, Amea Kangisa. Composition, Daniel Janacz. Directed by Amea Kangisa, Mere Nelatikau, and Eleki Reed. Produced by Deutschlandfunk Kultur 2023. Eine deutsche Version der Serie finden Sie auf hörspielundfeature.de und im Deutschlandfunk Kultur Hörspiel Podcast.